I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise. Head folks, we're bumping them out with Beyonce today. We're talking about ways that we can lean in to help young people. We were thinking about this case involving the 21-year-old from Florida who overslept jury duty and got 10 days in jail. We were contrasting that with the case of the young white guy who killed four people driving drunk and got off because of he's suffering from affluenza. Folks, if you don't know anything about affluenza, it's a disease of being born and raised privileged. I certainly do not have affluenza. I want to complicate the discussion just with another layer here and have us think about how are we supposed to lean in to protect our children. Let me tell you what happened. And I do have some people joining me at 4:30 who are going to talk more about this. Rico, Robert, Will, Fred, and Lisa, don't hang up. I'm coming right to you. But last night, after my son had his fencing, driving him home, I stopped at Walgreens. And that's the Walgreens on Roland Road, not too far from Security Mall. There were two children outside, African-American children, a little boy and a little girl. They were there. They had no socks on with their tennis shoes. They had shorts on and t-shirts. It was cold last night and it was raining on and off. So walking into the Walgreens, they asked me, did I have any change? I said, no. Or did I want to buy some candy or cookies? I said, no to all of that. Little boy told me to have a good day. Didn't think another thing of it. I went inside, got what I needed, came out of the store. And the young gentleman, young guy says to me, ma'am, do you have a phone, a cell phone? And I said, yes, what do you need? He said, our ride's not showing up. I'm like, well, your ride. Now, at this point, now I'm getting involved. And I said, exactly what are you doing out here? How old are you? The little boy is 12 years old. Little girl's 14. They got dropped off by a man so they can sell candies and cookies. And they have a number of kids who get dropped off. I'm like, so you've been out here for how long? They had been out there in front of Walgreens for over 2 hours. No coat, no socks, in the rain, going back and forth to Walgreens to warm up. They asked me if they can use my phone to call the man who's supposed to pick them up. I said, well, is this man, is it a parent? Is it an aunt? Is it an uncle? No, it's just a man who we work for. I said, who are you raising money for? The girl says, we're raising money to help the schools. I said, which schools? And her and the little boy look at each other and they go, you know, all of them need help. I said, so you're out here at night selling candy to help all the schools. So I loaned them my phone. They called. And I said, well, I want to stay here with you because I want to know who's picking you up. Folks, I felt like I needed to lean in. Now, the problem is that I walked past them when I came in, that they were invisible to me when I walked in. I waited. A van pulls up, a gray van pulls up outside of Walgreens on Roland Road near Security Mall, pulled up near the backside in the dark. An African-American man got out of the van. The kids go running down. A bunch of kids, maybe four or five kids, come falling out of the van to help them with the candy. I saw these kids, all African-American. None of them had on coats, T-shirts, and shorts. They all go back in the van and keep the van door open. I couldn't see the license plate number, so I drove up beside the car. Now, I know that I probably shouldn't have done this. I wanted to know what was going on. So I asked the guy, I said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Here's the problem. He came over to my car, leaned into my car on the side where my son was sitting. I said, I'm just trying to figure out why you're out here. He was not happy. He was not pleasant. He was quite upset that I was questioning him, saying, I'm not breaking the law. If I was, the cops would be out here. You know, you could just go on. These kids are fine. I'm not doing anything to them. Quite nasty, a gray van full of kids at night selling candy. So I got online. I got on Twitter because that's what I do. And I sent out a tweet saying, hey, Baltimore peeps, help me to understand what's going on here. Because when I asked the young brother, hey, who are you working for? He said YouthWorks. So that surprised me because I thought YouthWorks was a summer program for teenagers. And so when I put it out there last night, a lot of people responded and said they couldn't have been YouthWorks. They could not have been with YouthWorks because YouthWorks does not allow kids to sell and peddle candy out at night. It turns out my son said he saw the girl's T-shirt. And so they're not with Youth Works. They're with something called like Youth Force Organization. I went online. There's no website that exists for this particular company that they're working for at night, selling candy outside of Walmart in the dark on a school night. They call themselves the Youth Focus Organization. That's the T-shirt the girl had on. I know this because my son saw her and saw the shirt and wrote it down. Out there selling candy. I went online. There are a lot of people that have complained about Youth Focus Organization. Who is it that's driving kids around, dropping them off at places to sell candy outside of establishments? A lot of people chimed in and said that sounded like child labor human trafficking. Now, I was upset last night. This is where my son checked me, folks, and this is what I want to talk about. My son checked me. He said, Mommy, we see these kids all the time. Folks, they've been invisible to me. He said, they hang out outside of Zips up here on Liberty Road. We've seen them up at the Shoppers Food Warehouse on Perrin Parkway, just standing outside. I never even paid attention. This is why I'm being transparent. Because these young people, young African Americans out selling cookies and candy from a bin have been invisible to me. I wouldn't even have stopped if the young brother hadn't said, can I borrow your cell phone? He used my cell phone to call the man who pulled up in a van full of children selling candy. Is it child labor, human trafficking? Who's watching out for these kids? How should we lean in situations like this? Have you seen this happen? I tossed and turned all night long, folks. I just cannot get this off of my mind. Like, I should have done more. Were these kids actually taken home? Were they fed? Do their parents know where they are? Are they orphans? Are they wards of the state? Who is the man that's driving them around? Why did he have so many kids in a van at after 9 o'clock last night? So I want to talk about this today because we've got to figure out who is it that is responsible for our children, because I'm kicking myself. I should have done more. I didn't do more last night. I am doing more today. I am. I tweeted out about it last night. You know what? Tweeting's not enough. People on Twitter said to me, you know, you need to report this. You got the man's phone number. Let's report. And maybe that there's nothing wrong. Maybe everything's on the up and up. But you know what, folks? If it's not, then if one child gets saved, if one, child labor human trafficking is different from sex trafficking. We're talking about children working in inhumane conditions, working long, arduous hours for little to no pay. People started tweeting that they've been in this situation. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. I want to come back to Lisa, and I'm going to Rico next. Lisa, with your son. So he is out of the Mississippi jail. Where is he now?
Yes, Dr. K, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. My son is at home here in Baltimore.
Good.
With me. As I said prior to the break, I had to make two trips down there to get him. But I think I made enough noise and I actually drove like 18 to 24 hours each time, each way to get down there to get my son. As I said, they picked him up here in Baltimore City on the 3rd of June. He had not seen a judge here. Transportation picked him up on the 28th of June, rode him around for 8 days. I didn't know where he was. I got in touch with State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby here. She helped me locate him.
Right. Oh, good.
Once he was located, I thought he was going to go to court since it was a governor's warrant within 24 hours of being brought into the city of Tupelo, Mississippi, which he was not. So that was the 28th of June. My son never saw a judge, and they finally released him to me on September the 6th. No, I thought they were going to do an interstate compact. I thought they were going to have a super, what do you call it, parole, probation.
Right.
But these are things that he was not on.
Okay.
But I didn't understand how they even took my son, but I was able to get him back.
So he is out now. He is out now, because I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, you said you need some help getting a civil rights attorney?
Yes. I've been putting out a lot of emails. I get a lot of as many calls back as I put out emails, but for some reason, they're not accepting the case.
Okay.
But they'll refer me to another attorney.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. Lisa, I'm going to have you hold on. Justine, if you can get Lisa's email information and her phone number, I will pass you on to my cousin, AJ Amisa, who is a lawyer in D.C. He deals with civil rights cases. He'll be able to at least connect you with someone in this area, because we want to make sure that we follow up on this. We're excited that your son is home, but now we need to get him out of the system. All right, hold on one second, Lisa.
Blessings. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. We have Rico on the phone from Laurel, Maryland. Rico, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K, I love the show. Your content is on. You were right on about Bill Clinton, and you knew you were right on about Obama. Eventually, we'll have to have that conversation.
Yes. I don't know if we're ready yet.
I don't think, you know, it's needed, and people, you know, you say one thing wrong about him, or you ask a question, you know, people don't like to hear it. But I had a question. For our youth, for our children, when is the time to, like, have that conversation to them about Black-owned businesses and having your Black pride and knowing that the playing field is not even and that the justice system is not built? When is it time to do that? When is it time to do that for your children?
No, I completely agree with you. Thank you so much, Rico. When is it time? We have Robert on the phone from Towson. Robert, how are you?
How are you today, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because you said those kids were invisible to you. They are everywhere. They're out here in Towson.
Whew.
I see them all the time. They're in the Towson Place Mall because there's two little, you know, not little, they're large shopping malls right on Joppa Road. And I've seen them be picked up.
So who are they working for? Have you ever engaged with them, Robert? Like, who is in charge of this?
I'm listening to what you said because I have no clue, because they basically said the exact same thing that child said to you, because I questioned them. I don't just give somebody some money. Well, what school? They can't give you a name.
They don't
all
have nothing.
The same response, all to schools. Mm. I was like, come on now, that's crazy. What do you mean all the schools?
That's the same thing I said.
Yeah, that's crazy. What do you mean all the schools? You mean every school in Maryland? And, you know, so it just didn't make sense. So I'm glad that you are into that and you're going to check on it, you know, to find out just what's going on. I did want to make two more comments. I wanted to bring two more things to your attention, which I'm sure when I tell you, you are familiar with them. It's about, you know, the young man that got the 10 days.
Yes.
That the judge gave him. Okay. What about the white woman? Because I'm not going to call her a girl because she's fully grown. She got arrested on a sex charge. She was a teacher.
Oh,
and
yes.
Remember her?
Yes.
And her defense was what? She's too pretty.
Yep, to be in jail.
To jail. It would be like throwing meat to the lions. And she did not go to. That's what he said. And he didn't crack a smile.
No.
He said it would be like throwing meat to the lions, he said. And she didn't go to jail, man.
No, she didn't. Her name is Deborah Jean Beasley. That's who she is.
I know you're finding it. Let's bring something up.
Come on.
A little more current.
Yes.
What about the white student down in Virginia who raped the girl? This was proven. Ooh. He had his trial. He got convicted. And I think the judge, if I'm not wrong, may have given him, 6 months?
That's it, 6 months. Slap on the wrist.
Father was hooked up, got connections, and he's going to buy his, because he's a registered sex offender for life, I believe. His father's going to buy that, because you can buy that time up.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be fine.
He's going to be fine.
What did Michelle Obama call it? We call it failing up. That's what it is. Failing up.
Exactly. Let me say this real quick. The young man that got to 10 days, one thing I want people to know, because I'm an investigator for accidents. I've been doing it all my life, a lot of dealings with the police and attorneys. when you get arrested and they take your picture and fingerprint you, and when they say, okay, we've expunged it or we've gotten rid of it, you don't have a record number or whatever, that is not the truth.
Oh, no.
That's not the truth. They can tell you that all you want. If somebody pulls your record, it will be on there, and you got to explain. Well, they threw it out or it got discharged. Plus, the FBI, because every time you're fingerprinted and a picture is taken of you, it goes to the FBI.
Oh.
And all the municipalities can shred them if they want. The FBI does not shred.
Oh, thank you for telling us, Robert. Folks, it makes me think about the little girl. Remember the little girl that was arrested? Remember we had that conversation about the African-American school police officer who arrested the first grader because she threw a tantrum and kicked someone who was fingerprinted and photographed. We have Claude on the phone. Claude's a new caller, but Claude used to sell candy back in 1975. Claude, how are you, and welcome to the family?
Ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a neighborhood thing, and we sold candy to make money. They showed us how to make money. They didn't give us drugs or they didn't give us guns. They showed us how to make honest. Even though it wasn't honest, we made money to support our little, clothing and, go to the movies and things of that nature.
Now, having done it in 1975, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I think we can both agree, 1975, things were a little bit different. Do you think all of it's on the up and up? I mean, I'm telling you, Claude, these kids last night at almost 9:30 at night, outselling candy, getting into a van with the man, it's just the guy who drops us off.
Yeah, I see the kids all the time. Yeah, I see them. And, I try to support it, even though I don't know what's going on. But I try to support it because somebody supported me.
Okay. Do you think we should lean in and do something about it, or we should just give them money and just support them?
I think you should support them because it may be a situation where they might be trying to help their family or something like that.
Hmm.
That's probably what that is.
Claude, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. So, folks, we have these children in Baltimore City and the county, too, because I was out in the county last night. Something about it didn't ring right with me. I am wondering why it is that our children are invisible. Maybe they're not invisible to you, because everyone say, well, I see them everywhere. Well, if you see them everywhere, are you leaning in? If you see them everywhere, are you finding out what's going on? If you see them everywhere, then can you tell me who are they working? Who is it that has 12 and 14-year-old kids standing outside of a Walmart or Zips or Shoppers? I'm just naming three of the places where I have seen them. Two of them my son pointed out to me, selling candy and cookies for a nondescript organization that doesn't even have a website or phone number or contact address, and they're getting in the van being picked up and dropped off. Come on, folks. I'm not sure about this. We got Fred on the phone from East Baltimore. Fred, how are you? Fred, are you with us? All right, let's move on to Will from Pikesville. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I want to elaborate on two things. First of all, I sympathize with the young man who got 10 days in jail. Maybe he ought to consider suing the judge, if that's possible.
I don't even know if that's possible. Wow. I don't know.
Now, the second thing I want to elaborate on, if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, you know why. I really believe that Trump may very well be the best president that Russia ever had. According to the news, a lot of Americans believe that Russians got him to help get him to office. And what he's doing in the Middle East even has a lot of Republicans extremely upset.
Right.
He's abandoning people who for years have fought with the United States, the Kurds. He's totally abandoned these people. And if it is true that the Russians helped him win election, then maybe he's paying the Russians back by abandoning our allies and allowing ISIS to become powerful again in the Middle East.
I'm so glad you said that. Thank you so much. So, folks, a couple people chiming online. Christina Day said, hey, it happens all the time. Been happening for years. Her cousin did. Her cousin sold candy bars in an intersection for a guy. Marcus Clinton chimed in and said, let's not forget that the judge said the whole reason why the young brother was needed because he filled the diversity quota. He was the only black jury that they needed him for the diversity quota. And then someone says, hey, why don't we just call the phone number. Like, let's just get the guy on the phone to see if we can have him answer the questions. I actually feel you. I actually am. Over the break, I'm going to give Justine the number. Let's just call him. Hey, we got questions. I mean, we got a platform. We can just call him and find out what was happening. We're going to do that after the break. So you got to stay with us after the break because I got the phone number because the kid used my phone to call the guy who showed up in the van with the kids. So, Justine, what do you think? She said, yeah, let's just call him. Let's just get him on the phone. We have this. I mean, Justine's like, okay, I got to check, make sure legally we're okay with that. We got Ruby on the phone. Ruby's a new caller from Bowie. Ruby, how are you? And welcome to the family.
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So I just wanted to comment about the kids and the candy. I don't think there's an issue with the kids selling the candy.
Okay.
I used to sell candy. I'm from California. I used to sell candy all the time in front of the stores. I would do it with my mother, though, and it was a really good way if we wanted to buy anything to get a little extra change. But there is an issue. Kids should not be out. I'm also a teacher. They should not be out past 6 o'clock selling anything
for
anyone, and definitely not anyone that's not part of their family. I think the parents need to be more involved, and they should definitely know where their children are and keep them with them. You shouldn't have your child out, no matter what age they are, past 6 o'clock. They have homework to do. They have after-school activities. And I don't find that acceptable at all.
No, I don't. I'm glad you pointed that out. Because maybe, I'm just, to give myself a little bit of, you know, maybe they were invisible to me. Because it was summertime. I mean, I'm not really thinking about summertime. The fact that they were cold and it was dark and it was a school night, all of that was running through my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. There's nothing wrong with selling candy. Okay. So then what do we do? Should we actually lean in and say, you know what, this is not acceptable. We got to find a better way for our children to make money, if indeed they're making money to try to take care of their family. Because I'm not sure how much money they're making from selling candy for someone.
Yeah. They need more after-school programs.
They do.
More entrepreneurial programs for them.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Mr. Bigger on the phone. Mr. Bigger's from Gwin Oak. He's a second-time caller, but he used to sell candy as well. Mr. Bigger, how are you?
I am fair to middling and hunky dory, but not necessarily in that order. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Hello, Dr. K.
Hello.
And as always, it is an absolute pleasure listening and talking to you, my
Thank
good
you
lady.
So much.
First and foremost, like the previous caller said, nothing wrong with kids selling candy. It's the premise and the pretense behind it that you have to worry about.
Right.
Coming up as a kid in Brooklyn, you saw some stuff. You saw some stuff. And one of the ways that, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer.
Right.
One of the things that you pointed to that was absolutely important was the whole trafficking thing. It's not always about kids being pimped out for sex.
Right.
It may not even necessarily be about having kids acting as mules or whatever the case may be. Fact of the matter is there are some desperate adults out here who are willing to do anything it takes to get that little bit of scratch.
Right.
Mm. And they are not above using children as cattle.
And that's what we saw. When we looked at child labor, human trafficking, it was selling to make money for drugs or other things. I'm not saying they all do that.
No.
I'm saying there's something about having kids out at night selling candy and cookies.
No.
All right, I got to hold you there. Folks, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, not only is Dr. Nadine Finnegan-Carr going to join me, we also have someone who's been involved in trafficking. We got Tyrone, Donna, Shonda, Cynthia, a new caller, and Nathaniel on the line. We're having a hot conversation. I appreciate you joining the discussion and giving us a call. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
They don't love you like I love you. Slow down. They don't love you like I love you.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. So, if you're just joining us, we're talking about young people, and we're talking about ways that we can lean in. We're talking about the ways in which Things can happen right underneath our eyes, and we're invisible to it. Do you know what is happening in the underbelly of this city? I raised this because I saw some children last night, 12 and 14 years old, outside of Walgreens, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, no coats, no socks, in tennis shoes, selling candy. They asked to use my phone to call their ride because he was late. When they did, the man showed up in a gray van full of children. I saw at least 4 or 5 of them get out, and there were more of them inside the van. All of them had on T-shirts and no socks. It was cold last night. It had been raining on and off, but they were out selling candy. He was the pickup guy, picking up the kids, putting the candy in the back. I engaged with him. He was not nice. I did ask him, what were they doing? He said, we're selling candy to raise money to help the schools. I specifically asked him, which schools? He said, all of them need something from us. I did not get his license plate number because he was parked in a dark area by Walgreens, but I did get his phone number because a young person used my phone to call him to get him there. Now, one of my listeners said, hey, let's just call him on the phone. Folks, we need to make a report. Like, in order to file this thing properly, we got to go through the proper channel. So though I want to get him on the phone and get him on the spot and question him, I'm thinking it's more important to make sure that those children are safe, which means turning in the number. And once we call him, we've already tainted the case. We don't want to do that. Should we lean in? Have you seen these kids out selling candy? Is it okay? Maybe I'm making a big deal out of it. I've had a couple people call who sold candy back in 1975. Folks, let me just be the first one to tell you, it's not 1975 anymore. So things that may have been okay in 1975, I think we're doing something completely different in 2019. Child labor trafficking is actually a thing. It is something that happens on a regular basis, and it's when young people are pulled into these situations working in inhumane conditions or working long hours for very little pay. That is actually a crime. And that if you see this type of behavior, there's some steps you're supposed to do, which is reporting it. If you're seeing this happen, like with those young people, because I think it needs to be reported, because who has kids out selling candy and cookies on a school night in the dark outside a store without even a coat on, and they're waiting for a ride from a gray van? 410-319-8888. Cynthia is a new call from Odington. Cynthia, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm doing fine, Dr. K.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. He ready to answer my... Well, I've seen the boys do it. My nephew is one of the ones that be out there selling the candies and the riders. They drop them off, and they come back and pick them up. But they also be like mentors to them, because I was asking my niece about it. Like, when
right.
he gets in trouble in school, those people that take them around with the candy, they go up to the schools with the parents and check on the kids and make sure that the kids are doing their schoolwork. And they take them on little trips, and they, you know, do little things. Because I was worried about it, about being picked
Good.
Up late at nighttime.
Right.
So that maybe it was like a sex trafficking thing. But they pay them so they can get little clothes that they didn't have, like tennis shoes.
Okay.
They keep a watch out on them, and they go by their homes and stuff and make sure that they're doing their homework and things like that. Because he goes out there with them like Monday through Friday.
So it's actually a job. Now, how old is your nephew? Cynthia?
He is now 15.
Okay, he's been doing it for a couple of years?
Yes, he's been doing it for a couple of years. And then I seen him, I rode past a store one day at Orange Mill, and I saw him standing there, and I was wondering why he was out too. But he was out there, they come by and they pick him up, they make sure that they get food. But with him, he did. He had money to buy food and everything until they came back.
Right.
But he gets like little things, like he got in trouble in school. One of the men that he worked for goes up to the school, and they make sure that they take him to school. When he said that he was born, it really wasn't. They take him to school every day, and they go back and pick him up.
Now, let me ask you this, Cynthia.
Doing homework and everything.
Well, let me ask you this, Cynthia. Is this a company, or is it just individual men who just kind of have these kids out selling candy? The kids get a little bit of a cut, but the bulk of the money goes to whoever these men are. Or is it a after-school club? Is it an organization? Or just some men who have kids selling candy?
My niece never told me if I
okay.
think it's just one single person.
Just one single person.
Yes, and they work for him, and he drops them off at different areas, and they all got to be by stores, because I see him on Wilkins Avenue
yeah.
in Tatesville. I see him everywhere doing this, and they get money And like I said, they like mentors to them, but I still don't trust that in a sense.
Yeah, I don't either.
They give money and things like that. But I'll be checking into it if I hear anything more.
Okay,
about
if you do, call us back. Know. Thank you so much, Cynthia. Folks, I don't know. I'm raising one eyebrow here because it's in this situation, Cynthia said, one individual man taking kids out, selling candy, giving them money, going up to their schools. I'm saying there's something about this that just doesn't sound right to me. Maybe I'm too cautious. Maybe, you know, I have these red flags. Maybe I've watched too many episodes of Law & Order SVU. I mean, really. Because trusting your child with some guy who drops them off to sell candy outside of a store, and then you also have access to my child's life. You make sure they get their work done. You come up to the school. Who is this person? What organization is holding this person accountable? 410-319-8888. Donna from Baltimore, how are you?
Oh, goodness gracious. I tell you what. Well, first of all, I ran my daughter's softball league, had 150 kids. When we did things like that, there was paperwork.
There you go.
And there had to be an adult with their ID, and you're assigned to this group, you're assigned to this group. And if something happened, when somebody didn't get picked up, I went and picked them up in my
team. There you go. Okay.
So, but look, Dr. K, I give these people money all the time.
Hmm.
I'm going to now, thank you so much, I'm going to lean in because when I see little children out there, whatever they're selling, I can't eat those cookies and get all those carbs.
Right.
But I got to give them something. Here's
right.
some money.
Right.
Because I appreciate that you're making an effort to do something, honestly, to make money. So I want them to see, like, people, wow, look what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. But you got to watch out. You know, it's not that you're watching too much Law & Order. You live in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's just, look, a friend of mine that my mother raised, she moved up to Ohio. She got involved with drugs. Her son ended up with a mentor from the church. This was all in the news. And if you tell me not to say his name, I won't.
Don't say his name, please. Don't say his name. Mm-hmm.
But up in Ohio, he was 16 with a 58-year-old mentor from the church.
This doesn't even sound like it's going to turn out well.
So
it doesn't.
He's 16. The mentor's 58. Okay, they ended up, the boy ended up when he was 17 getting sentenced to life in jail, which he lost all the rights. He was there for homicides. Three different homicides where they would ask people how much, what do they own? They would target people that were loners. Would you own this? And then they would take them out in the woods and kill them for their little bit of worldly possessions.
Wow.
Thank God they got caught, but he was a church mentor. So, but anybody that's doing all this with children, if they're doing the right thing, they're going to have their I's dotted and their T's crossed.
Right,
you're going to
because you're working with children.
The children, and where's the socks? If I don't see children wearing socks with their shoes,
that's what got me. You know, I'm telling you, you can tell the mother and I. So the first thing I did is look down and say, where are his socks? It's raining and it's cold. Where are your socks? Where's your jacket? And what bothered me, how do you not have a cell phone to contact your rights? You just stay here till he comes?
And you know what? Here's the thing. But that's great. That was a mistake that was made the day you used your phone.
Got the phone number, and we'll be reporting it. Thank you so much. We have Tiffany on the phone. Tiffany's a new caller from Baltimore County. Tiffany, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm wonderful. Great. Thank you. This is my first time, so I'm excited. But I just got in my car from after work, and I caught a piece of what you were saying. So I wanted to call to elaborate more on it. Yesterday, like around 8:30, the Walgreens right there on Rolling Road and Dogwood, I was going there to get some pain medicine, and I noticed two young kids outside begging for money for school. And I said, well, I don't have any money on me now, but I'll come out. But to me, I was like, wow, it's 8:30. It's get ready to rain. What are these kids doing outside? And honestly, something said just didn't sit right with me, but I kept going. And it's so funny that you're speaking on this today.
Those are the same kids, Tiffany. It was a little boy and a girl.
The girl
had an afro. She had an afro puff in her hair.
Yeah,
yes.
It's so funny. When I gave the money when I came out the store, the little boy kind of like snatched and like, oh, I'm so, but you know, he didn't say thank you, but he smashed it like, yes, he got money, like as if they were doing something.
And he was very small. He's a small 12-year-old.
Very scary.
We were there at the same time, Tiffany. These are the same two kids. This Walgreens, Dogwood Avenue, right there, not too far from security. It's the same two kids.
And I had a really bad headache, so I just left. I said, let me go to the store and get some medicine. So I saw it, and it was like, okay, it's 8:30 at night. Yep. It's get ready, rain, and it's cold. Yep. What are these kids doing? But you know what? I was just so busy doing my own thing. I walked away, but in my mind, I was like, something just don't sit right. And it's so funny. I get in my car to turn you on, and you're talking.
There you go.
It.
Same two kids. I was there. There you go.
Something's not right.
They had, and everything looked old in the box. They're running back and forth because they were cold. I kept saying, why are you going to the store? He says, I'm cold. The little boy was so small, and the girl was not nice. She kept saying, bye, we're fine. I'm like, no, who's picking you up? That's where the van came. On the side of the Walgreens, where it's dark with the trees, that's where the van came and parked to pick those kids up, Tiffany.
Wow.
The same two kids.
Didn't sit right. Yeah. It was nighttime, and I just thought, you know what? That's a shame. I think, something needs to be done.
Yeah, we need to lean in.
That's not a good picture.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Folks, this is what I saw last night. We've got to lean in. Kalila Harris chimed in on Facebook Live. She said, no, it's illegal. It's off the books. There are no taxes being paid. They will not be able to do this job legally. Folks, when I volunteer to work with kids, volunteering to work with kids at my church, I have to be fingerprinted before I'm allowed to work with children. When I became a school teacher here in Baltimore City, I had to be fingerprinted so they can make sure that when I go in to work with these kids, that everything in my past would stand this test of time so I can be trusted to work with children. And we know that doesn't always mean that it's going to be the right outcome. But here's somebody dropping our kids off, leaning into their lives like this. We got to do more, folks. Can't be invisible any longer. Shonda from Randallstown, how are you?
Dr. K, and I do lean in. So I have had a conversation with a couple of kids up at the Walgreens in Randallstown. They have the buckets. And then because I look at the cookies and I see that they're dollar store cookies and the markup is just unbelievable. I'm like, $1, you want like $7 or $8. I said, what's this money for? They say, well, it's for a boys club. I said, well, where are you from? They said, Cherry Hill. I said, oh, so someone gets you out here from Cherry Hill? And so one of them threw a paper on the ground. I said, well, since this is my community and we're sharing space, I'm just going to need you to pick that up and put it in the trash, but you come back and let's talk. And they engaged. And I said, well, I won't buy the cookies, but what I will do is sow a seed in your life. So you're not stealing from your employer. I'm voluntarily giving my and sharing my resources with you.
Right.
So this is your money. So whatever obligation you have with these cookies and your boys club, you know, and then the people are savvy. They print something up, but I'm looking like for a 503, like you're a nonprofit. Why are these kids out here basically panhandling? No, And then when you listen to all your previous callers who said that they sold candy, they have been very transparent. They said that they sold the candy to make profits for themselves.
Yes.
So the spin is, now I'm doing it for a boys and girls club. I'm a for mentoring.
Doing it for the schools.
So when you get those vague answers and they're just so broad, no narrow scope, so when you're leaning in, I'm like, well, what are you doing? Are you guys for technology, are you learning anything? Are you doing like a Lego League challenge? Yeah, none of that. So and then they do use children, because we don't want to say no to our kids.
Right.
We definitely want to help them. But not that way, by lining the pockets of adults. Like one of your callers said, people are not above using children.
Yes, because children break your heart. Thank you so much, Shonda. We have Nathaniel on the phone from Pikesville. Nathaniel, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Dr. K? I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I'm glad you called.
I got a question. So are work permits still a thing? We need a work permit.
Yeah, I didn't see work permits last night. Let me just be – I didn't ask for them, but they were not hanging around their neck. So I did not ask for work permits. But 12 years old, come on.
Oh, okay. So they probably can only solicit after school hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
While they were out there. But look, kids don't need money. I'm sorry. These children don't need money. Don't give the kids the money, and they'll disappear. They'll vanish. I think it's a push, by my anti-conservatives to get these children out here.
Mm.
So we gotta do something about it.
Okay. See now, So Nathaniel, I know what you're talking about. I know, but okay. So the kids, when you start using babies, Nathaniel, I mean, I don't know about you, but my heart breaks. I mean, even though I'm looking at them, it was because of a confluence of things, right? It's night. Uh-huh. It's dark. It's cold. You don't have a coat. Like, the more the stuff piled on, it made them go from invisible, for me, Nathaniel, to visible. And as I'm very clear in saying, I would not have stopped if that kid hadn't asked to use my phone. I was single-mindedly focused thinking, man, it's late. I got to get my own kid home. If he had not stopped me to use my phone, I would have kept going.
So how do you tie that into the political climate that we're in?
Yeah.
Conservatives wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, Nathaniel, you know I love when you call. I'm going to stop you there, folks. I'm going to keep going to your phone calls. In the last couple of minutes, I will have Dr. Nadine here just giving us a couple of tips around child labor and human trafficking. We have Darrell on the phone. Darrell said he reported the situation with the kids. What happened, Darrell?
Hey, Dr. K.
Hey.
I was out that same area, and I saw those kids. But I, just like Barbecue Betty and Block the Entrance Betty and all the white people, I called the police.
Ooh.
Why isn't it that your callers that are calling in, if you get this spidey sense, single sensation, why didn't you call the police?
I did not. I have his number, and I have the paperwork to file a report. I did not call the police. I should have called the police. You're absolutely right, Darrell. I'm telling you. I should have called the police. I'm telling you.
I'm not saying you, Dr. K.
No, but you're right.
The last call.
You're right.
All your callers.
Yeah.
Well, if you had that sensation of
yep, you're right.
Wrong, but if you're it was right. Your kid, I bet you would have called the police.
Yeah. You know what, Darrell? Let me just say, the reason why I'm conceding on this point, because what I put out on Twitter last night, I said, I am kicking myself for not doing more. I should have called the police. Rather than driving away, feeling bad, tweeting out, saying, I don't know what to do, let me file a police report, I should have called the police in that moment. You are absolutely right. You're right, Darrell. I messed up, and I will not. It won't happen again. You can best believe that I won't. This will not happen to me again. I did not call the police, and I should have. You're right. And my other caller who saw the same kids and she had a bad feeling, she should have called the police too. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Darrell. Hey, folks, we got to hold each other accountable. I can really be quite honest about when I'm wrong. And I was wrong because I should have done more. It's not enough to have the number and to get upset and want to talk. It's not enough. There's more that has to be done. We have Tyrone on the phone from Catonsville. Tyrone, how are you?
I feel fantastic.
Thank you for calling. How you doing? Okay. Thanks. You want to make a comment?
Yes, I absolutely disagree with the gentleman that said that kids do not need money. Now, when I was a kid, I needed money. And you know what they had for me? They had summer jobs programs. They had summer jobs programs. There are kids around here that are susceptible to exploitation for precisely that reason, that they don't have money, that they have weak parental structures. This is what we got to remember. All kids don't have strong parental structures. Like we give to our kids. A lot of people don't understand that. They have a very naive worldview. They think all kids live the way we treat our kids. But some kids have situations where their parents are absent. You know, I've talked to young men, and some of them are selling drugs to feed their siblings.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, a naive person would think this kind of thing doesn't go on. And the thing about it is the exploitation doesn't just stop with candy. You also have drug gangs that are using kids for various reasons. Sometimes violent means.
All right, now I have to stop you there. No, I appreciate you, Tyrone. I'm so sorry. I got to stop you there. We don't have much time left. But I do have Dr. Nadine Finnegan Carr in the studio with me. And she is very aware of what happens with child labor, human trafficking. When I was tweeting out last night, she got on Twitter. She said, the more you're tweeting out about this situation, the more it sounds like a violation of child labor, human trafficking. So I know we're all giving our opinion and all of those are valid. I just wanted to get from her, in situations like this, what should we do? What should we be looking for? Like, how do we lean in? Dr. Nay, how are you? Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. So two things. Even how you would have responded 8 days ago is different from how you would respond today.
Mm-hmm.
October 1st, Maryland just passed our first labor trafficking law.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, and we're still working through some of that because the labor trafficking law, when I'm talking about we just passed it, is for everyone. We didn't have an official labor trafficking law on the books. And so, similar to sex trafficking, we are now coming up with the specifics as it relates to children and youth.
Okay.
Because unlike with child sex trafficking, where if it's a commercial sex act, as long as they're under the age of 18, boom, call, you know what it is. With labor trafficking, it's harder to prove. You have to prove force, fraud, or coercion. And the problem is that if you are giving someone money that they need in a desperate situation, you and I know that's a coercive situation. Right. You're telling somebody who doesn't have $2, I will give you a dollar.
Right.
That's a coercion. However, they're looking at it like, I need money. They're helping me. And so I was listening through both to what you described in the situation that you tweeted out, listening to your to the listeners as they were calling in. And what tends to happen, because one of the tweets I had put out there was that, in quotes, parent permission.
Right.
And what tends to happen, especially in lower socioeconomic situations, parents are even approached and said, I am going to mentor your child. I am going to do that. So some of the people that were calling and saying they're giving them a mentor, they're doing all of that, it's still a coercive situation in a lot of these cases. The situation you described is with young people in front of a store. You also have cases of what we call magazine crews. Have you ever had those people knock on your door?
Oh,
it's like, can you buy the,
yes,
I'm selling a magazine, and you look at them and it's like, why are you knocking on my door selling magazines in the day and age? And like the ones who are calling the 70s, I used to do that. We have the internet. We have all these other ways to order magazines today. Back in the day, I sold greeting cards. I sold magazines. You did all of that, but you were also doing it for yourself.
Right.
In labor trafficking situations, you're not selling it for yourself. And 9 times out of 10, going back to the parent permission in air quotes, what is happening is they're telling the parents, I will be a mentor for your child. I will do this. And they're making, let's say, $1,000, and they're taking $10 to take your child to the movies. They're you know what I mean? They're taking your child to McDonald's. They're doing all of these little things.
But they're making the bulk
The bulk of the money. And in 9 times out of 10, the children are not receiving the money in hand.
So now in situations like what happened last night, I know people are with a lot of callers on, so we will get back to you. Mm-hmm. But then what happened last night, one of my callers, Darrell, said, you know, you should have called the police.
Yes.
I did not. So going forward, what do we do? Because I want to make sure I'm prepared next. So rather than driving away, being upset and tweeting about it to the world, I want to make sure that I'm helping the children in that moment. So what do I do?
So calling the police is the right answer. But we still, like I said, the law for everyone only changed 8 days ago. So police aren't necessarily trained yet in how to respond. The basics are, you know, call the police. For those of us who are mandated reporters, call Child Protective Services if you feel the child is in danger. Those basic steps. However, right now, what the protocol is still being developed.
Okay.
Like, I'm actually going to be at City Hall tomorrow developing protocol for some trafficking situations. So the protocols are being developed because the laws are changing rapidly because of the fact that we're realizing that 1979 and 2019, trafficking versus pull yourself up by your bootstraps are two completely different things.
So last night, I should have called the police.
Mm-hmm.
So folks, when you have these situations where you're seeing children out, I mean, you think about the confluence of things, nighttime, outside of a store. Again, the no socks, no coats, all of that to me were red flags.
Mm-hmm.
I should have called the police,
yes,
which I will do next time. I'm seeing if we can get a couple phone calls in here.
And just one more thing along
please.
With that. The other reason why it's important in this situation, because one of your callers asked about work permits. Yes, work permits are a thing. However, the ages that you described are under the age of getting a work permit.
12 and 14. I asked them what their ages
If you
were.
Think about it, the work permits are 15 and 16 for one level, 17 and 18, you know, 17 for another level, and then 18, they're adults. 12 and 14, technically, they probably wouldn't have even qualified for a work permit. And if they qualified for a work permit, they were past the point of the hours that they should have worked at 8:30, 9:30 at night. Most work permits during the school year, it's 4 hours after school, which you think 3 o'clock, 7:30 at the
right,
most.
Right.
You're not 8:30, 9 o'clock, even if they were eligible for a work permit, is way beyond that limit.
So because I have a guy's phone number, and I'm going to see if I can get Christina here, I'm planning to, just so I can be very clear, I am planning to report this to the police and to give the police the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Ryan Dorsey got on the tweet last night.
I saw him.
He asked for the phone number, so I did share the phone number. And I only have it because a kid used my phone to call. And just think, I'm kicking myself because how often, Dr. Nay, do we walk by and not do anything? Did we do it? My call, she said she had a headache, she saw the kids, it was late, and you just drive away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
when it says we're leaving the mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep till I get this thing taken care of. All right, Christine from Lauraville, I'm hoping we can get you in. Christine, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I am so glad that we are dealing with this situation now, because so often I have seen these kids out, and it has bothered me that they're standing there sometime, and sometime they look hungry, and they're selling candy.
Oh, man. That's actually a good point. We were talking. Thank you so much, Christine. We were talking about how small this boy looked. Dr. Nay, before you go, where can people find you so if they want more information, they can get it from you? Or on Twitter, Facebook, which is best?
So Twitter is probably the fastest.
Okay.
So it's Dr. Nay, a.k.a. D-O-C-T-O-R, spelled out, on Twitter. That's probably the fastest. I tend to have that popped up on a regular basis.
Okay, so.
But you can also email me, and I'll leave my email with Justine because it's really long.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. Justine just told me we're going to cover this again tomorrow. Wanda, Omar, Michelle, we're going to follow up on this. I'm going to do the report tonight. We're going to track this down, get Dr. Nay back in here with us, and why don't we spend a little bit more time pulling this law apart, because it's not just about child labor, human trafficking. It's also about sex trafficking, and we need to talk about this. This has been Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, Angela Davis said, I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept. Why don't you join me with that and make an appointment? Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's have another conversation that matters.